there. Welcome to Game Chat, the video game book club on the internet. Today we are talking about The Dark Pictures, Man of Medan, week one of two. So we'll be talking about it both this week and finishing up next week, along with our scoring next week as well. It was released back in August of 2019, developed by Supermassive Games, published by Bandai Namco Entertainment, Bandai Namco Entertainment Europe, and Namco Bandai Games America. A little summary of the game is, in Man of Medan, five friends set sail on a holiday diving trip that soon changes into something much more sinister, embark on a horrific journey aboard a ghost ship. All playable characters can live or die. The choices you make will decide their fate. Who will you save? So for those of you who know or don't know, every week that we have one of these podcasts, we have intros along with an intro question that goes along with the game that we're discussing. And this week, our intro question is, if you could choose any one of the characters in this game to go on an explorative dive with you in the ocean, which is what the characters, how they get into the situation, kind of, who would it be and why? Starting at the top.
Oh, it's Franco. I would say Alex, the brother.
Okay. Why?
He seems to be the most... Either of the brothers, actually. I mean, they're like pretty level headed, it seems, at the intro. So
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Thank you. Next.
That's me. This is Jonathan. I was just gonna be the one guy that goes, the curator. But then again, the more I thought about it, I was like, no, he'd probably judge everything I do. Oh, you're doing that? It's like, hey. No. I don't know. I mean, I feel like, I think I'd say, even though she'd get on my nerves, I'm going to say Julia.
Okay.
Just because, like, she seemed to be the only one that was like, this is a rebreather. This is how it works. This is how we dive, you know? But then again, I don't know. All their levels of diving expertise were confusing to me.
Yeah, for sure. All right, thank you. Next.
This is Madeline. I would definitely say Fliss, because she seemed to always have a plan, or at least an idea of what should be going on, even if it's not actually what's going on. And it could just be the way that we play the characters in our story, but Fliss seemed to be like the most mature of our group, so I would probably go with her.
Yeah, good choice. Cool, thank you. Next.
Hi, this is Kevin. Guess if I had to choose, it'd probably be Fliss for the same sentiments as Madeline. But in reality, I'd probably not really want to go on diving with any of them.
Oh, you would just go solo, or?
I would go with somebody else.
Go with somebody else. Got you. Okay. All right. Valid. All right. Next.
This is Chris, and it would probably have to be the Chinese fortune teller. Because I feel like he would be able to know what was going to happen before it happens, and potentially save you from certain death, or at least tell you that you're going to die before you go. So
okay, awesome. Yeah, good choice. Thanks. This is Steph. I would probably go with Fliss as well. Everything that Madeline said, wow, I was going through so many M names. I'm so sorry. In my head. Everything that Madeline said, agreed. She seemed like she had the best kind of, you know, that she had the best head on her shoulders. I mean, I kind of, only because, like, I don't think that he was given enough screen time. I was kind of thinking Brad at first, but then I kind of remember that Fliss existed, and I was like, oh, right, yeah, that's probably the best choice right there. Although, yeah, I'm going to stick with that. All right, cool. Well, thank y'all. And we'll move into our discussion. Olsen the Pirate. Wow. So we're doing this a little bit differently than how we usually do, because there's so many ways that the story can change, and there's, you know, different, you know, there are so many ways that the story can go. For instance, a couple more people I know never hit my stopping point because, well, they hit it and they overpassed it because they never saw the stopping point that I mentioned, because their adventure went differently. So we're going to try to kind of, you know, keep it at that like 2.5 hour mark of like, you know, where we stopped or where, you know, the stopping point was. And just kind of do like a round table. You know, I might kind of like, oh yeah, well, first you start out like in the market, you know, then you're on the Duke, and then under, you know, you go and dive underwater, but we won't be hitting, unless, you know, whatever y'all want to discuss, you know, I won't be going over like every story point in the story. I mean, in the game, because that would take forever to mention everything. So yeah, we're just going to kind of, whatever y'all want to talk about, we will talk about, for this first half of the game. We will kind of, I guess, first kind of go over like the nitty gritty of mechanics, gaming mechanics for the game, for Man of Medan. How did y'all feel about the controls and, you know, the quick time events and that sort of thing?
Oof.
A little clunky.
Yeah. Tank controls, but like slower.
Were you like, using keyboard?
I played twice. I played with Frank and Chris.
With Chris,
I played on my laptop with a keyboard and a trackpad. And then with Frank, I played on PS4. Yeah. PS4 was much better experience.
Yeah, it seems like a controller is the way to go for this game.
Yes.
The thing that I was running up against is I'm so used to playing with a PlayStation controller, and I was using the
Xbox
controller on the PC, and I'm still so not used to the ABXY configuration. Mm-hmm. So it's like when like the X shows up, I'm like, okay, which button is that without looking at the controller,
and
which one is Y and B? So it was just like. Yeah. I kept mashing the buttons whenever they would pop up.
Yeah. You could have changed it to show the PlayStation buttons, so then you just know where they are.
Yeah, I might end up doing that. But the biggest issue that I have with the game, and it's not really controller-wise, but it's if you have the option to play online with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Why is there no option for voice chat within that?
I'm assuming it's because that they know at this day and age that most of us use other services for voice chat, and it was one thing that they didn't feel the need to build
one
in.
One last thing that they have to build
because
in.
Because we're already going to be using that. Some extra service.
It's like, I kind of feel that, but I mean, it's still like, it just, it's, I don't know, it just felt weird. That, and it's kind of clunky in another way too, because then if I have to, if I'm not piping the game audio to my headset and having it on the speakers on my computer, and then I have another program that has the audio coming through the headset, then it's like I'm deafening the audio. to the game. So it's just like, I don't know. It's just a funky way of doing things.
Yeah, I don't. I think it was more of they didn't intend for you to play it with voice chat, which seems weird.
But like, part of me, I could see that.
Part of me thinks like they're like, no, you're supposed to be experiencing this side of the story. You don't know what happens. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's like that's why we want you to play it multiple times as different characters. Because the other option they have with playing this is like the movie night mode, which I've seen playthroughs of people doing the movie night mode, where basically all that is it's the single player version, but they tell you to pass the controller when a new character is in control. It's like supposed to play the group. It's like a party game kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, like the single player version, it's like you're only being shown half the cutscenes. So it's like, I think that was like part of their design with this, is that they wanted you to play multiple times and only, you know, it's like, oh, you don't, just like if this was real life, you're underwater, you don't know what's happening on top of the boat. You just see an explosion. What was that? You know. Yeah. Whereas when you're voice chatting, Chris, I'll be like, whoa, Chris, what just happened? Chris, like, oh, Trevor blew up the grill because he's stupid.
It was propane and propane accessories.
Wow. I think I got one QuickTime event in the tutorial wrong, and I think I got one QuickTime event in the game right.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that I was not adequately prepared in the tutorial for the types of timing that they're going to be expecting.
Yeah.
The QuickTime events in the game are really quick. Like, usually QuickTime events in games offer like at least a couple seconds, or like maybe 5 seconds or something sometimes, depending on like how far along it is in the game. Like Heavy Rain, you have some pretty fast quick time events later on, but like for most of the game you have a reasonable amount of time. And this, it's like, oh, you have like 2 seconds to go and hit the button, and if you don't hit it, you're SOL.
Or if you hit the wrong button, you auto fail it.
Yeah. It's not in the settings, though, that there is an option to, I think it's like a called like the button masher or something like that. I think it doesn't matter what button you press. It's like as long as you press a button, it registers as the correct one.
So
that would have been nice to know.
I played with that, and it was basically like for QuickTime events where instead of having to like push really fast for stuff, you could just press and hold. And I think I had one press and hold QuickTime event. And
yeah, like, there's very few of those.
That was pointless.
Yeah, there was one, and it was like me and Jonathan were like, oh, gotta switch, gotta go off the, you know.
Yeah, gotta
Switch
the index finger.
Gotta use the index finger.
Yeah, that's called. Those were basically only for doors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think when we had to push a thing one time, that was the only time I used that.
I just found that besides the clunky movement.
Ugh. I feel like the, I was playing a Telltale game again.
It's the camera shifts, too. It's like when you go from one door to another or through, especially in the ship. The camera perspective would switch, and you're like, should I keep pushing that direction or another direction? I'm not sure.
Yeah. It's like I appreciate the cinematography that they're going for, like in like a like as like a film kind of thing, but like it like that it's at the opening thing in the game when you're Joe and Charlie and they're like, you take a turn and all of a sudden it just cuts to like the camera cuts to underneath the stairs.
Yeah.
And she's like, wait, what?
Oh, I didn't realize I had to walk in that scene. I stood there for about like 3 seconds and Madeline already walked down the stairs. I'm like, oh, we have to walk.
Yeah. It's like I appreciate that artistic flair, but then don't make me walk through it, you know? Or there's a couple times later on, which, I mean, it's a kind of testament to, like, the graphics of the game, but there's multiple times where it's like I was moving and then it cut to a different angle as I walked through a doorway, and I was like, oh, it's a cutscene. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, it's not. Sorry. Yep. You
know, it's like... Exactly.
Yeah, I think we're running up against that issue now, too, that the graphics are getting so good that it's hard to differentiate between a cutscene and an actual playable scene.
And when your game is 65 gigabytes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The setting graphics were great. I guess the model graphics were good, but there was something about the way that the characters, like when you were talking to them, I think it was just that they moved their head a lot.
And Julian's mouth is just so overly animated.
I think a lot of it has to do with the motion capture.
Yeah,
that they did, because motion capture can just end up being really awkward. It also doesn't help that they the lighting is just very weird on the models, especially the teeth.
Yeah.
Yes. Also, like, the light doesn't shift. I mean, their eyes don't shift. Yeah. Like, their eyes stay looking at someone, even as they're, like, turning their head different directions. And I'm like, you know, I mean, like, and I guess in a way, like, it's like, okay, well, this is, you know, I mean, they're doing the best they can, but I think it's because everything else looks so good. Mm-hmm. And then that little thing through it, like, you know, like in any other game, like I would have been like, that wouldn't have thrown me off. But because everything else looks so good, and then like the eyes are just like dead staring at someone.
And then they also do a lot of like close up on faces when you're not expecting it. Like, I forget who I was playing with. I think it was with Frank, where I stopped moving my character for a little bit. And if you... the idle, what it does, like, if you stop moving your character for, like, longer than, like, 10 seconds, it will just cut to a shot of their, like, eyes, like, close, like, extreme close-up, and, like, I was like, what did I do? Because I was waiting on Frank to read something, and I was like, I freaked out, and then I was like, oh, that's just, it's weird idle animation.
Interesting.
it was doing that to me with our playthrough when it was, waiting for your input.
Yeah.
Like, it was just really awkward, like, extreme close up of their faces.
The technology for that would make this less awkward is what they implemented in Cyberpunk 2077, like new artificial intelligence and stuff. But it's not in this game, so it doesn't help.
I feel like there are other games that aren't as new as Cyberpunk 70, you know, that don't seem as weird. Well,
you have to have a lot of effort put into it.
I haven't played Until Dawn, but I've watched a lot of playthroughs, and they never seemed that way. They didn't seem as weird as the ones here.
I feel like these games are a lot more... like these ones, since they're like shorter compared to Until Dawn and stuff, I don't think they have as much polish put in them in certain aspects.
Right.
They also had a shorter development time. They spent a lot, like, they were working on Until Dawn for like, I think it was, I need to look it up, but I think it was like close to 10 years they were working on Until Dawn, because the game changed multiple times before it turned into what it did. But it's like because Until Dawn was like their big like game that they were like, oh, we gotta do this right. And then I think, I mean, this is all just me hypothesizing, but then I think when they the success of Until Dawn, they were like, oh, well, instead of making another big game that's going to take forever to make, it's like, let's just make an anthology of smaller games with shorter development cycles. Mm-hmm. And I think, and also, I mean, if I remember right, when Until Dawn came out, it's like the motion capture to that degree was like, it was like, whoa, you know, it's like, and I feel like just in that time, motion capture just got so much better. It's like kind of surpassed what Supermassive had been using. You know, it's like it was like one of those quick turnarounds kind of thing and technology jumps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did like the heartbeat, the heart to stay calm where you had to
tap
that was pretty neat. For one, that.
I hated that mechanic so much.
See, I loved it. I loved it.
I failed it maybe once, but Madeline failed it a couple of times. And it's like, ah, come on.
I almost thought I killed because when we were hiding in the ship after breaking the vent, it came up, and it's like as soon as it came up, I hit the button because it was, it was just so
I was just like, wait, what just happened? It was like, oh well, okay, there goes Fliss. Bye, Fliss. I agree. I think I like that one the best just because it gives you a heads up of what you're doing. Yeah. You know, it gives you time to think and you're like, oh, I can get with the heartbeat rhythm, you know? And it's like that makes sense. But I think the biggest problem with the quick time events in this game, other than them being just a tad too short for important ones, but more of like they needed to have. I'm gonna kind of like, I hate to say it, but it's like I think they should have had more of them, because I think the problem was you do a quick time event. And then you're sitting watching a movie for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there's a quick time event fumbling through your controller and keyboard.
And I'm trying to remember. I think it seems like a lot of the quick time events came off a cutscene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like you're like sort of like, oh, cutscene, and then boom, quick time.
Yeah.
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 Like I'm thinking to like just Detroit Become Human. Like I know one of I didn't have a problem with, but I know like one of the complaints I've seen people give about is how every task you do, you have to like do a controller like quick time event kind of thing to do.
I love it.
Like take out the garbage, to pick up a pot, to carry a train. Yeah. You know, and a lot of people think that's like that's boring gameplay and everything. But at the same time, like, but that trains you to be prepared for quick time events.
Yeah.
So you're ready for them because you're always doing something with the controller.
Yeah. It also engages you as well.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just sitting back and watching something. So, moving on to characters, what did y'all think about our cast of characters? Did you have any favorites? Did you have any not favorites? Bill.
Charlie cared too much about his 50 cents.
Yep.
No. Wait, who was
way Charlie? Too much.
That was Charlie was one of the soldiers at the very beginning that had the terrible acting.
And,
hey, I don't understand. Man, where's my 50 cents?
Like it was they're perfectly fine on shore, and then they're like, hey, we should head back to the ship now.
And they're plastered. They're
completely wasted.
Yeah.
And it's like
they step on the ship, they're completely wasted. I'm like, what happened?
So much so that your sergeant isn't gonna even like bother to like cuff you and
not
even do any discipline.
He just punches you out.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, Frank kept calling him John Wayne and it made me laugh.
Yeah.
That's true. That's a good. It's a good comparison.
He just looks like John Wayne.
We'll see. Well, I mean, I guess going into like, you know, because for the listeners, my stopping point for everyone was when Brad wakes up on the ship, because everyone else has been on the ghost ship, and Brad wasn't with them, and then Brad wakes up on the smaller ship on the Duke. And, you know, I was like, y'all will know when you see it. Well, that's not true if Brad goes with you. So for me at least, like, Brad didn't get enough screen time. Because Brad didn't, I mean, it was like, by the time that he got over there and found everyone, it was like the last quarter of the game. Like, it was so late in the game. Like, Brad was, hardly saw Brad at all.
I think that's like, as like, I don't know if there's like a canon storyline, you know, but I do feel like that's the one like you're kind of expected to run into, because even when Brad's like with you, you kind of forget Brad's with you.
Brad's there.
except one time where Brad's just like, at least in mine and Chris's playthrough, he's just like, oh man, I've got to go down there and rescue Fliss. And like, he was oddly heroic and he jumped down off a ledge.
Wow.
But then once he does that, at least on like my side of things, did Craig literally just slam a door?
I think so.
That sounded like he slammed a door.
I think that might have been a door closing on my end, and then it just happened at the same time that Craig left.
It was Craig.
for those listening, our Discord recording device. One of them. So
our lazy intern.
Yeah.
Yark is love. Yark is life.
Yeah. What were you saying, Jonathan?
You know, just that even when Brad was there, it's like he really like wasn't there.
Yeah. Well, I think a big part of it, early on, I was in the Brad slot for the first part of the game, and I think Chris, you were in the playing Alex, I think. No, not Chris, I mean Jonathan. I'm sorry.
At the very, very beginning played Alex,
right?
Because I was getting them all ready for the proposal,
right?
And my choices.
And I drank the beer as Brad, so that means Brad's sick for like the rest of the day.
Yes, yeah, I did the same. I did the same mistake. That's why he was. I mean, at least for me, he was down in the. He was in the boat.
The other question: did you guys stick up for Brad for the dive? Like when Julia was asking, and what is it? Alex is the other brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Alex has the option to say that Julia will go, or he will say to Julia, actually, I promised Brad would be the first one to go down.
We didn't have that option.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
I don't remember the second one.
Because I had that.
What was that for?
So Brad could have gone down with the dive with Alex instead of Julia.
When I was playing, we had that option. Julia was like, "Yeah, we'll go down. We'll be like the first ones." And then, like, I had the option of like, "Yeah, sure," or, "Well, I promised Brad I would take Brad down first." But then Brad drank the beer and got sick. So,
okay. Was Alex in your playthrough getting cold feet about the engagement?
No, but I think Jonathan had said something.
Made him not to. In our playthrough. During the underwater dive scene, I was Julia, and Alex got cold feet, and I think I tracked that decision. I think there's a couple of choices, but I think one of the big ones is when he asked Brad, when Alex asked Brad for advice, what to do, and Brad thinks he's talking about med school,
because
I think. Because at that point, I was playing Brad in Chris's mind playthrough, and I think I was more reserved. But then in mine and Frank's, it was more like, "Yeah, man, take life by the reins," you know, kind of thing. So
it says the option is go with your gut or give it some thought.
Yeah, we thought about it in ours.
That pretty much dooms the.
Yeah, and then so then when we're like halfway up to, we're like 20 feet below the ship, and Brad's like, "Hey, Let's talk. Okay, let's talk. Okay, let's swim up to the ship. But wait, you have
to go. There's a boat. Decompress.
Because otherwise you'll get the bends. And I'm like, we're 20 feet away from the boat.
I can see
explosions.
Oh yes, the delayed bends. I think the bends comes like an hour after you go diving.
I know we can't talk about every nonsensical thing in this game because that defeats the fun of every horror movie ever made. But just who are these people that on their like big like college night out of town, we're gonna go diving for underwater wrecks that Brad found while researching that no one else has found. What?
Yeah. We're gonna go to World War II wrecks and
like if they were just like call it like rich college kids that are like wanting to go diving. I get that. Or we're specifically trying to find underwater wrecks. But
they were like history nerds, you know, like if they were like a little more the historical aspect of it. But then
why were they so like annoyed at Fliss going like, no, like legally, if this is a World War II thing, it is considered a war grave and you're not allowed to touch it. You know, that is law.
Well, I love that they were like that. She went. I'm just like, okay, so you hired this. They obviously hired Fliss. Did she not ask where they were, like, what they were, like, I would think that she would need to know why they're going there and what they're doing. And so I thought, so you're waiting until you get out here to be like, I'm sorry, I can't let you, like, I'm going to have to report you. And I'm like, wait, what?
How did they get pictures of the wreck in the first place?
I think so. It seemed like Brad was like doing research about like, I guess, planes that went down in the Pacific Theater and thought that this one might be here and was 100% correct. Which, like, the chances of that.
Right. The ocean's pretty big.
And the pictures, I think, like, when that scene picks up, they're in the water. It's like they already set up the dive light and put a camera down there. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, look, the ship's here. But. But also, in regards to Fliss, you know, in her defense, it's like she needs the money. She probably didn't ask too hard. and she seems to be in a rush considering she just runs around with no shoes.
Did any of you end up seeing the letter that Fliss has?
Where all the debt she's in because of loans and stuff,
and her very very legit looking boating license.
Yeah.
That was the fakest. I thought
definitely
for
not
sure,
Photoshopped at all.
I thought for sure that
it has Comic Sans on it.
So
perfection. I love it.
I'm assuming that it's. I mean, are we supposed to? I mean, is it just poor design, or are we supposed to think this is a fake license?
Could
be.
I think we're supposed to think it's a fake license
because a lot of the characters, like if you make your characters go look at it. All of them will make a statement. Like Alex will make a statement, Conrad will make a statement. I think even Julia will like this looks sketch. Like they all say that something like that.
Yeah.
But then, which I think the reason you didn't find the letter about her debt, Steph, is because during the underwater scene, Julia and Alex are investigating the wreck, the other players play as Fliss, and you can like go through her cabin. I think it's the first time you can go into her cabin, and she has some stuff. But if you go up to your boating license, she will immediately pick it up and put it in a drawer and lock it.
Oh yeah,
it up.
I did that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I didn't remember when that was, but yeah.
Playing, because I, for those listening, everyone, like, I played single player because of a weird Xbox Pass thing, and then, like, I just wasn't sure, like, when I'd be able to play, and, you know, I knew I'd have to play everything, like, in advance. And in the one, in the single player playthrough, you know, you follow, Alex and Julia, and the whole, like, you know, I mean, like, and y'all, from what y'all have talked about so far, like, it was just a grill explode. Like, it was just the grill kind of catching on fire, right? That little explosion, like the, So that was extremely sus. Like, the way that they were acting when you got back up on the ship was the most suspicious thing that for the entire rest of the game, I thought something, like, I thought that they made some kind of weird deal, you know, and that they were, like, complicit or, like, you know, helping them out somehow. Because, like, the way that they had them act, and maybe that's on purpose. Maybe they're trying to make you suspect something, but, like, the way that the characters acted after, like, when we got back on the boat was, like, so suspicious. So suspicious.
Yeah. Wait, did you have the interaction also on top of the boat as well?
No.
They don't. That's I think, one of the biggest problems with this game is that, like, the single player version, it's like you miss half the game. Like,
oh, that's half the story.
Yeah. Which, looking at I've watched a little bit of playthroughs of the next anthology game, Little Hope. It seems like they fixed that, where they were like, oh, you know, let's make it a little more balanced for people that play in single player to get the full story. Cause I had only ever seen the underwater part, and I was always like, what? Because you're right, Steph, they are super sus.
So sus.
And so when I was playing with Frank, I was able to see what happened on the top side, and it was just like, I was like, are you kidding me? So what happens is Conrad and Fliss are quote-unquote flirting. It depends on how you play Fliss, how you play Conrad. Well, no, no matter how you play Conrad, he's always flirting.
Yeah, you can either be flirty or you can be polite. There's no in-between.
Polite and or you're going to hit on Fliss is very annoying.
Yes, it's such a... and then you, like, with... You could go... And then the fact that you can deviate between both things, you can make the characters so bipolar in their personality.
Yes!
Because, like, I'm scolded. I'm mad at you. Oh, now I'm going to flirt with you. Oh, now I'm mad at you again.
Yeah, I said that to Jonathan. It's like, when you're playing with somebody else, you know, and you just keep switching characters, I can set up Conrad one way, and then Jonathan takes over and goes in a totally different direction.
Yeah, I do think that, like, that's one of the things I think they messed up on is, like, they should have, like, given each player, like, their
a choice
three characters.
Of two.
Like, yeah, or like two or three characters, like, these are the ones you're gonna stick with the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
So then when you could get more attached, because I think about, like, A Way Out, it's like whoever you pick in A Way Out, it's like you like are rooting for your character that you've been playing as, you know?
Yes.
And you want to, so it's like by like just like by like flip flopping every other scene, every other, you know, it's like it took a lot out of it. But yeah, during the boat scene, basically all it really is Fliss notices that there's a fishing boat out there. And so she's getting nervous. And then what it is the fishing boat literally is just passing by. The fishing boat accidentally hits the dive line, which causes the whole, you know, wreck to start falling apart and everything. But then the fishermen, which are the pirate dudes later on, they're just upset because their boat was, like, damaged when they hit the dive line. And literally, they only show Olsen, and he's just like, hey, my boat's damaged. And then Conrad will not shut up. He's immediately like, he's like, hey, we can work this out. Hey, you want $10? And he throws it in the water.
I can't stand it.
Then, but it gets worse. He says $10 and also just stares at him. He's like, all right, 20, 30, 40, 50. You know what? Just take it all. Like, Conrad throws all his money into the water and Olsen's just staring at him and then Olsen drives away.
Yeah.
That's that whole interaction. All Olsen said was, hey, you damaged my boat. Olsen goes away. And then right after that, Conrad and Fliss are both like, well, that was a close one. And Fliss is like, okay, Conrad, start the grill so we can have lunch. Literally the explosion is Fliss let Conrad do the grill, and trying to impress Fliss, Conrad squeezed a whole can of lighter fluid into the grill, and that's what the explosion was.
I'm not sad about what happened to Conrad in my playthrough.
It seems like he's supposed to be one of the bigger characters in it, considering he's on the cover, but he's also one of the actual known actors in this game.
See, no, that's why it's the whole Psycho Janet Leigh thing. The movie Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho, the big thing was like, everything was like, it starred Janet Leigh, and spoiler alert for those who have never seen Psycho, but Janet Leigh dies in the first half hour, she was the face of the movie. She was the known star, at the time Anthony Perkins and Vera Miles, they weren't as popular. Like, Janet Leigh was the big name. And so it's like, I think that's what they were trying to do. It was like, hey, we got Sean Ashmore. You recognize him. He was Iceman in X-Men 2. Like, you think you've seen him in other things, but that was actually his twin brother. But don't think about that.
He was also in some other game, Point Break or something.
Quantum Break.
That's what it was.
Point Break was the Keanu Reeves movie.
They'd love if they had Keanu.
I want to play a Point Break game.
It would be pretty good. It's called Cyberpunk 2077. I think that's because even with the next anthology game, Little Hope. I looked his name up last night. It's like he's not as big a name as like Sean Ashmore, but it's one of those actors where you're like, oh, I recognize him.
He's that nerdy. The next one is like that nerdy guy in all those movies.
Yeah, well, if you Google actor with the eyebrows, he will pop up. I tested it last night. It is true. If you search,
wow.
So it's like, I think that's part of their thing with the anthology game is like they get one recognizable guy. At least for the main part. Because I think that was the big thing with...
Until Dawn, they got that
Until
one...
Dawn.
They got I forget what it is.
Hayden Christensen and... What's-his-face, too?
Skarsgård.
Rami Malek.
Hayden Christensen.
Hayden Christensen was in it?
Yeah, she was the face.
Oh, Hayden Panettiere.
Okay.
Hayden Christensen is Anakin Skywalker.
That's the other Hayden. The girl Hayden.
The other one was Rami Malek.
Rami. Which at the time, Panettiere was the big face. Of course, now Rami Malek is an Oscar winner. And right after that, Brett Dalton was all in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff. Anyways, what was the original question?
About the characters.
Yeah. I want to... Oh, go ahead, Madeline.
Oh, I was just going to say, I decided that I knew who I wanted for my final two. Probably after about the first 20 minutes, I wanted Brad and Fliss to live. But I think partially that's because I played Julia really insufferably. And I think we were both trying to play Conrad really annoyingly as well.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to put Julia on a redemption arc. I don't know how that's going to go.
Goodbye.
Frank, you tried to put everybody on a redemption arc.
Yeah, Jonathan keeps ruining it. Anyway.
Wow. I play the characters, man.
So, did y'all have any deaths your first half of the game?
Oh.
Nope.
Yes.
The first 2.5 hours.
So, what is the... I'm not sure.
Okay. I'm pretty sure it's just Conrad.
We've had deaths.
The first 2 hours of the game. I mean, wherever that lands for any of you.
I think the first death big thing is always probably going to be Conrad. I think that will most likely always be the first death.
Yeah, I think that's the real first opportunity for death.
Which like, you know, brings back the whole like Janet Leigh theory, but
finding
Chris's.
Right.
Conrad gone. Yeah. But it might have Cranks, he's still alive.
So. I didn't have any deaths the first half of the game.
You go.
Second half, however. We'll talk about that next week.
I'm trying to figure out where the half ends.
The first 2 hours, I don't know. I mean, the first 2 hours of the game, y'all. I have no idea.
The stopping point is it's whenever you take control of Brad again when you're already on the ghost ship. Because you don't take direct control of Brad until that stopping point.
So
that was the halfway point.
So was that like around the radio?
That was whenever you were back in the ballroom and you were seeing all that stuff you couldn't hook up, I think, Kevin.
Yes. I wasn't going to interact with anything in the ballroom, and I was so annoyed.
I was stuck in a repeating hallway. So, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, now I know where. You were probably what I was doing with, I think it was either Julia or Brad.
I was Brad in the repeating hallway.
Yeah. I think you were Julia, and then you turned into Brad, and I was still Fliss in the ballroom.
Yeah. Yeah, immediately after the ballroom, or if you're Brad... You're in the room with the four coffins.
Yeah.
Did you find the strange looking corpse with the four coffins?
I didn't want to open.
Oh. I found it.
Yeah.
So was it at that point because Jonathan had taken control of Brad at that point. We were like, all right, I just found the coffin. In the ballroom.
Oh, there's a cop at the ballroom?
Yeah. Behind the stage there.
Yeah. I was walking around the ballroom, but I was, you know, I think my game glitched or something because I wasn't able to interact with anything. I saw the interactable objects, but all I could do was walk.
It was funny though, because so with Conrad, I had him steal the boat. I did all the QuickTime events perfectly. And then when it came to hitting Y, I missed that one button. He got shot in the left bicep, shoulder, arm area. And I guess that kills you and sinks the boat.
Yep.
So that happened. But then...
Wait, it sinks the boat?
Yeah, because I saw him, kind of driving off, and the boat was... filling with water as he was slowly fading out.
Oh, well, that was one of the pictures, right?
Weird.
Yeah, that was one of the premonitions.
But which boat?
Wait,
the fisherman boat.
Like when he tries to escape. Like,
when you're still on the Duke.
Yeah, but then there was another point when we were on the ghost ship, and I was what's her name again? The captain lady.
Fliss.
Yeah. So I was with Brad, and we got to the point where Joe originally dies with the the cars and everything in the holding area.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking around, and then I go into this little area, and obviously the door feels shut. And then I'm walking around, and then I get to this like puddle of water, and then these hands come out and start grabbing you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then that's like a quick time, but you have to keep tapping the button, which I failed, and then it just started like pulling her down, and I'm like, oh, I killed her. But then but then it cut to her just like getting up from the puddle, and I'm like, all right, fine. That didn't do anything.
Yeah, I was having controller issues. My controller stopped working, and I was just trying to open this goddamn curtain. And so that's what I was frustrated about. And while I'm dealing with that, I just hear Chris go, oh, Fliss is dead.
Yes.
No.
We were also having a lot of technical issues as well.
Yeah.
Where we kept dropping connection. Our controllers just like suddenly stopped working. And it was just like, yeah.
The game is haunted.
Yeah.
I also just had issues in general because I turned my game down to low settings and it still was.
Yeah, like I had
30 frames per second.
I probably would have had to have looked
into the advanced like configuration file stuff because I think it's made in Unreal and turned off some things to lower frame numbers. to make it actually run well.
But yeah, I think that's I think whether Conrad dies is what's dependent on where Brad is at the stopping point. Because if Conrad dies,
then Brad just gets found.
Like, they don't explain. They're like, Brad's here now. And it's like, but whereas if Conrad's still alive, Brad's hiding underneath the banners. Whatever.
So, Conrad didn't die at that point on ours, and Brad went over with us onto the other boat.
Oh, really?
And I'm not sure why.
That's interesting.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Might be with the relationship.
Wait, so when did your Conrad die?
Not in this part. It's gonna be later.
Ooh, spoilers.
Just want to rewind for the whole hostage thing. How did that play out with yours? It was funny with me and Jonathan because I think I was playing Brad at the time.
You were Alex.
Oh, it's Alex. Alex.
Yeah, you were Alex. I was Conrad. And you purposely did not take Conrad's gag off for half the thing. Right.
I kept talking to Julia. It's every time it's talk or take off the gag. Nah, I'm going to talk to Julia. Screw Conrad.
Well, I ungagged and unbound as many as I could immediately. And it cracks it because someone even came in the room and they saw that they saw that two of the gags were off and one person's hands were tied in front and not in the back anymore.
And they,
and I was like,
it went right back out.
You're just going to okay, cool. Let's see.
It's Junior. That was Junior. Junior's
dumbest pirates ever.
Not the brightest. I think they're fishermen.
Yeah. Okay. One person at a time, Jonathan, go first.
I was just gonna say that I don't think these guys are pirates at all. I think Olson's the only one with some kind of piracy experience, but Danny and Junior, they just have no idea what they're doing. Junior, he's just angry, but then he's watching you and he's like, hey, we're just talking, can't we talk? Keep it quiet. Danny's just loses.
Yeah. Kevin, what were you saying?
What gets me is that this is essentially they're trying to be the Captain Phillips
Yeah.
That movie with Tom Hanks, because Tom Hanks is able to play anybody.
I am the captain.
I'm the captain now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like the Somali pirates, I assume probably have like some relatively large ship. Like they didn't have a stupid dinghy. Like
they just have really big guns.
Well, yeah. Do we even know where the heck they are? They never say where, do they?
The Caribbean or something? Because they
know
French.
Because they spoke French and stuff, and it's and
South Pacific.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like that's very vague, you know. So it's like part of me at one time I was just like, they could be off the coast of New Orleans. You know,
are they vacationing somewhere, or are they where they live? Because I know that at one point I think I always noticed that Conrad was wearing a Massachusetts shirt, like tank top. I think it was Conrad,
Salem.
Right?
Salem,
yeah.
I feel like that's going to be foreshadowing for future chapters. Mm-hmm. Honestly, because Julia also had a book in her locker about like the Salem witch trials.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, actually.
What?
I know for a fact that the next anthology game, Little Hope, deals with witch trials.
There you go. Yep. That's
right. Okay. So it was
so it's foreshadowing of the next anthology game.
Yeah.
Which
was kind of clever.
This is
previews. This is,
no. That is not the right thing. This is the location of where they say the man of where the boat is in the game.
Oh, right, because they give you a physical location.
Yeah.
Oh, good thinking, Kevin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I looked up what the coordinates were.
Oh, well, yeah. So they must have been vacationing somewhere. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's wild.
Okay.
That's closer to New Zealand than
Brazil. Why are the fishermen all the way out there?
Yeah, there would not.
I don't think that's accurate.
There's small islands, but
they're kind of close to French Polynesia and the Cook Islands. Yeah.
I just want to say, not to be that guy, but I'm going to be that guy. No effing way. They would need a tanker behind them full of gasoline to get out there.
Yeah.
Unless they went to one of the, what if they went to one of the nearby islands
and
then sailed out there?
There's so much ocean for them to do something in without going all the way out to almost New Zealand to do it. You know what I mean? Would a World War II plane be over there?
Yes, because
that makes sense. All right, I just measured on Google. From the closest island to that site is 1,100 miles.
Wait, what?
The closest island to that marker is 1,100 miles.
I think we're reaching that point where I was talking about earlier.
It's just a game.
It's not even just a game. It's a B horror movie.
What did y'all think about what is his name? The curator, I guess. Like, did you feel like that added to the story at all? Did you think he was helpful at all?
That was my favorite part of the entire game.
I kind of like him. Me and Jonathan got a hint at the end of the first chapter because I guess it went smoothly.
I took none of his hints.
You get the hint
interesting.
If you both choose the same.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Me and Frank both wanted the hint, and so we got the hint, and he was all like, oh, you decided together and everything. But meanwhile, with me and Chris, we both chose the exact opposite, and he was just like, he's like, he didn't say it this way, but he was like, you assholes can't get along. And it was just like,
one of you decides
it's funny. And then also when we had Conrad die, it cuts back to him. He's just like, Like, he's like, you already killed somebody off. What is wrong with you? Like he's like, like I was like, hey man, you told us from the beginning that you let us form the story, but now you're mad because we killed somebody.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Madeline.
I was gonna say, did you see flashes of him when y'all were on the boat trying to get away, like get out of your bonds and stuff?
Wait, what?
Yes.
Yeah, at various points, he pops up. He pops up in like the background.
So
get out of here.
I was Alex in this point on the boat, and periodically you get up and look out the window, you know, into the kitchen to see, you know, what they're talking about. And periodically there'd be flashes and he's standing out there with in his little bowler hat. And I was like, why? Oh, that's and then I saw him a couple more times again later on.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
I wonder, I think I might have saw him towards the end of the game, like standing at the end of a hallway.
Oh man.
Ooh. I like that. I like that.
Yeah. With this guy and I forgot what the actor was, but the guy that was in the Big Lebowski that was in the original the
Skarsgård.
Until Dawn.
Skarsgård.
Yeah.
His last name.
I think it's also part of just the motion capture stuff, but and the fact that they're not really like moving around a lot compared to like all the other characters, that they're just chewing the scenery, and it just adds a lot to their character, even if it's ridiculously overdramatic.
Yeah, I definitely felt like that he was leaning into it quite a bit, which is okay.
I love the first second of it. That's the sort of overacting that I like, not the sort of overacting that some of the other characters did, which seemed like that they were trying to make it believable, but were missing the mark in some places. But that guy was just like chewing the scenery, and it was I loved it.
It's interesting. I'm looking at IMDb, and the guy who voices the curator is not the actor that he's based off of. Because it's like, he looks
They have a different mocap than the voice actor?
I think so. Because the voice actor looks nothing like
Yeah, they could have mocapped him and then just had a voice actor.
Because it's like, for whatever reason. I recognize the curator from something. But the voice actor, his name's Pip Torrens, and I think that's like the best name ever.
Ooh, I do like that.
Pip, cheerio.
Pip Torrens.
So let's see. Story progression.
I disagree with you.
What?
About the it might not. I mean,
no. That's the guy from Until Dawn.
Yeah, that's the guy from Until Dawn.
I thought you were talking about the curator. I thought you were talking about
Jonathan was talking about the guy, the curator.
I'm talking about
I'm talking about. And it's acted by Pip Torrens. Is that what you're? It's voice acted by Pip Torrens. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I just looked at Pip Torrens. I can kind of see some of the same facial expressions.
I think it's just the fact that all the pictures you have with him, he doesn't actually have that hairstyle.
I think it's him.
I think he's
bald in most of all the pictures that you see him in. So they gave him, since they gave him hair, it looks weird. And also when you do the mocap stuff and stuff, they tend to look a little bit off from their actual real life self.
I know that's Sean Ashmore. I can immediately tell it's Sean Ashmore.
Sure.
Maybe I'm just wrong.
I mean, if you can find proof that it was someone else, then sure.
His face does look different. The eyes.
Yeah.
Different.
I can see it.
Hmm. All right.
The other way. It doesn't matter. Like the curator.
I mean, anything else that y'all want to? Any other?
How many of the jump scares actually got you?
All first of the ones in the dive. Every single one of them.
Oh wow.
Yeah, the dive was pretty bad. Yeah,
one got me in the dive, and I think maybe one on the ship.
The second half, I started
doing more.
Which one?
The face model is Tony Parker's.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
You were right. Only had one storyboard artist. Weird. Okay, sorry.
Ain't nobody got time for more storyboard artists.
Now I'm looking. Well, that poor storyboard artist didn't have time. That's for sure. For a long while. Okay. All right.
Just talking about some of the quick time events that like kind of drove me crazy. trying to bash the window with the thunder. Because
I
failed big time.
With me and Chris, like we did it too early. And then with Frank, because I was ready for it, I was like, Frank, we gotta count. One, two, and then we waited too long and they didn't hit.
Oh.
And I think it's hilarious because if you could die if Conrad and Alex don't bust the window and they're just waiting and they miss it, then Julia's like, she's like, oh, for fuck's sake. And Julia just bashes the window out, and it's hilarious.
Patty is so temperamental. So I made a note of that. Like, I made random notes in my phone that I look back on them, and some of them I'm just like, what? I wrote down, yeah, she is just so temperamental with things. There was one time when they were on the boat, when they were on the Duke. I think it might have been after the dive. No one was talking. And she was like, dude, can you shut up for 1 minute? Oh. No one was saying anything. And I was like, no one is talking, Julia. I also made a note about the guy's accent in the first scene. Like, one of their accents, I'm not sure what they were going for. Like, it sounded Southern, but it did not. It sounded like someone trying to do Southern, like a Southern accent. But I also don't know. I mean, this was before they even got on the boat, I think, that I noticed it, like, as soon as the game started.
Oh, like in the tutorial?
Yeah, yeah.
Their accents were really bad.
I was like, what? Like, what is, like, that's not anything I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah.
It was really strange. How are y'all liking, like, finding the little, I mean, I don't know, I can't remember, like, how much ship exploration. I mean, you've had some. How do you like finding the little tidbits about
The premonitions?
The ship. Well, and also the premonitions and also finding, like, the lore pieces in certain mm-hmm. rooms that you can pick up and look at.
The lore pieces are fun to find when you're able to actually get into the doors on the side, because the collision boxes are like the size of Alaska or something.
Yeah, it's a little tough to tell that there is a door or there isn't a door. Like, there was a couple times.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't.
Oh yeah.
Like, I think me and Jonathan was in a bathroom stall, and he's like, "I'm over here by the toilet." I'm like, "Where that? I don't even know where you." And it's like, you had to make a blind left that you didn't even see a hallway or a door. You just blindly move to the left, and it takes you to the bathroom stalls.
Yeah.
Like, me and mine and Chris playthrough, we were both also in that same room, and we never found that hallway of bathroom stalls.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird. I like some of the stuff that, like, actually you think nothing of it at a time, but depending on the, I guess, the gameplay makes an impact. Like, early on, I think as Alex, or maybe it was Conrad, when he goes down below in the boat, he goes through a bag and he finds that book, that Salem Witch Hunt book, but he also mm-hmm. finds a bottle of perfume.
Yeah.
But he doesn't read it, doesn't look at it, just turns it around. And just, but then he doesn't put it back in the bag. He puts it on a rack next to the closet where he found the bag. And later on, when the guy's coming through the door, Alex grabs that perfume off the rack and smacks the guy over the head with it.
Okay.
So I was like, I'm wondering if you didn't grab that bag, what would have, you know, it's like little things like that.
Mm-hmm. I really like how it doesn't do it all the time, but like when you're playing in multiplayer and both your characters are in the same space, like the very beginning, I think they probably did it best when you're playing as Joe and Charlie on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And how when you're playing as Joe, because I switched when I played with Chris and Frank. So I was able to get both sides. But like when you're playing as Joe, because Joe is the one that like you find out has a kid, you know, it's like Joe keeps seeing a ghost of a kid. Whereas Charlie, when you're playing at Charlie's point of view, it's like you'll both be in the same hallway and everything, but Charlie does not see the ghosts, you know? And I love when they did that kind of things. Or there is a one time in the ship where me and Chris were both like, or was it Frank? I don't remember who it was, but we were in the bunks and someone like triggered a jump scare from like a poster on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see that. They're like, go look at it. And I like I don't see anything. and it's like, I love that. Like if you trigger a jump scare, it's not just going to repeat. You know, it's like, no, that was your jump scare because you're all going crazy. You know?
Right.
They would do that with auditory stuff periodically throughout as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was hearing all kinds of weird, like, I don't remember if it was screaming or laughing, and my character commented on it. I think it was with a NPC at the time. They're like, I don't hear anything.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this?
Wait.
Torturing
me. Trying to remember.
It's like as much as like I feel like you've spent the majority of tonight, you know, kind of harping on things and like complaining about it. It's like I am loving this because it's just like I don't know. It's just like especially playing with Frank and Chris. It's fun. Like it's like watching the dumb. Like this dumb B movie together,
and you get to do a little MST 3000 with it, you know.
Yeah, you exactly. but it's like, yeah, it's like we do get like jump scared, and it's like we are curious about the story. It's like yeah, we realize that you know the character's not being very deep at all, but
like the room with the four coffins. Jonathan's telling me, oh, there's something behind the curtain at the end of the thing. And it's a big jump scare, and I'm like, you set me up for that, didn't you?
No, that was when my controller broke. Chris can attest to that. I could never get that stupid curtain open.
It was totally Jonathan.
Yep. Actually, maybe Chris can attest to that, because that's when Chris was killing Fliss. So,
yeah.
So it's apparent, I guess, I don't know, it's apparent two of them are destined to survive, right? Because the curator is talking to two.
You can have everyone live or everyone die according to...
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah. According to the achievements.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah. There's like, there's tons of endings and achievements I saw.
Now, just think of it. Now, Steph, you were playing solo, so...
Correct.
does the curator address you as a solo, or is he addressed you as a pair?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So he doesn't act like there's two of you. Okay.
Nope.
That's interesting. Well, that's kind of, that's a nice little detail.
Addresses me singular. Me and him have very intimate conversations.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't berate me too much because no one died the first half of the game. So he was like, oh, no one has died yet. Clever.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm waiting for him to snap a book shut. You know, he keeps going to the shelf and like opening books, and I was just keep waiting for him to snap one shut.
Oh, but he will.
Oh, good.
What? Whoa.
Oh my. So yeah,
I think I remember him snapping a book, like, you know, like closing it, or at least like, you know, like, I mean,
he snaps a book shut. If you kill Conrad,
as I said, like it's my favorite. Honestly, it's my favorite part of the game.
Okay,
enjoying the game in certain parts, but like I enjoy this little kind of interspersed dialogue of, you know, yeah.
So I was going to say true confessions time. Let's see, I got I did not get Julia cut on the dive wreck. But I did get Julia. I think she must have broken ribs, and that was a premonition on one of the portraits where she like lurches forward when the boat. So, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Frank.
And I got Alex hit in the head with a frying pan.
Ooh. I got him hit in the head with a frying pan
too. Same.
I did not. So
and I gave Julia tetanus.
Are the premonitions?
So did I.
Are the premonitions possible death, like possible things that could happen? Because none of mine happened.
So there are two different colors of frames.
Oh, that's what the colors meant.
One, I think the white color is good things that could happen, and black color is bad things that could happen.
Okay.
Literally none of mine. Well. I don't think any of mine happened. Maybe one, but that's it.
I think, the one was a premonition of Julia like lurching forward against the table down below in the fishing boat, and I'm assuming either breaking a rib or doing something. But I don't think the other one that me and John, I guess it's the same. Brad struggling to get out of the boat while it's filling with water.
Yeah, that's the first one you find.
Yeah.
Or just Brad getting out of the boat. But
yeah.
I feel like the premonitions are one of those things that like they're a little too vague, but they make sense kind of after the fact, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Like it's like they don't help you in preparing for anything. Like they like the curator kind of leads you to believe, you know, because it's more like, okay.
As a person who's beat the game, I'm not sure that I agree with that. I'm still just as confused about them now as I was when they were happening.
Yeah, all the ones that I saw, I didn't make any sense. Like I recognize who was in them,
right.
And yeah, something was happening with them, but I guess we didn't do any of the right things to make any of them happen. That's I think Kevin got one.
I got one that had to do with the scene work that we had with Fliss Conrad, or not Fliss Braddock Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that one was like, I don't even remember what, but it was just showing basically stuff that... Oh, showing what was going to happen in it.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we ended up getting that outcome.
We did. Okay.
All right. Anything else y'all want to discuss before we wrap up?
Can't really do predictions because everything's different for everybody. So it's like.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know that I think a couple of us have already beat it.
So. We got a much sooner end.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah, I think my playtime was probably like a total 4 hours, but then also it was just me. So
yeah. Okay. Well, we may not have been that far off then. We'll see.
All right. Well, we'll wrap it up there then. Next week, we will continue our discussion of Man of Medan and our scoring and final thoughts of it. So play until the end if you haven't already and report back, I guess. The following week after that, on February the 9th, we will be talking about a couple of short games, The Wanderer, Frankenstein's Creature, and A Mortician's Tale. So that will be coming up the week after on February the 9th. So around Valentine's Day and someone's birthday, but you know, which reminds me, happy birthday to Jonathan, because his birthday is today.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Oh man. All right. Well, on that note, if you want more game chat, you can find us over on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, Stitcher, and Google Play Podcast under The Game Chat for all past and current shows. Keep up to date on what's going on by following us on Twitter at @the_game_chat or over on Facebook under Game Chat. If you leave us a review or a question or a topic for a current game, and we might just read it on the show, you can email us those over at chatwithus@thegamechat.net or send us adorable pictures of dogs at notenoughdogs@thegamechat.net. So come back next week where we're talking and finishing up Dark Pictures, Man of Medan. So until then, thanks for listening, and I'll chat you later. Bye.
Bye.